I live in Caesarea with my four daughters. If you're wondering why God chose for me and my lovely daughters to live in Caesarea, you probably think it is so my girls could find nice husbands and give me a lot of grandbabies. So far, that doesn't appear to be the case, since they are still blessing their mother and me with their daily presence. At least four daughters don't eat as much as four sons would. And they prophesy.
Two cities in Israel had remarkable influence on the growth of the early church. The church started in Jerusalem, but because of persecution, it soon began to spread to other places. A port city on the Mediterranean Sea was maybe more important to the spreading of the gospel than Jerusalem, Caesarea.
I believe God placed us here in Caesarea so we could help the many missionaries who were leaving Israel to spread the gospel. It's probably not obvious why Caesarea would be that critical, so let me tell you about my hometown. Although the Bible doesn't give a lot of information about Caesarea, you can easily infer its importance to the Christian movement and many of its key characters when you read the book of Acts. Since the beginning of recorded time, the primary trade route across Israel was the way of the sea, or the Via Maris. This trade route linked Egypt with Syria, then on to the rest of the world, the most important route across the Fertile Crescent. The route came from the Sinai in Egypt, up the west coast of Israel, cut across the Jezreel Valley near Nazareth, to Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee. Around the north edge of the Sea of Galilee, up to Hazor, then across to Damascus. Near Damascus, it linked up with the King's Highway trade route, the very route that Moses wanted to take across Edom and Moab. The Via Maris was specifically placed to avoid the dangerous swamps on the west coast of Israel and those east of Hazor. Those swamps no longer exist. Why didn't ancient traders just put their goods on big ships and use ports along Israel's coast? They would have loved to, but it was not possible. A huge amount of sand is continually dumped into the Mediterranean Sea from rivers in northern Africa, especially Egypt. The water currents push the sand up the coast of Israel so that there are no natural deep water ports on the southeast side of the Mediterranean Sea. The story of Jonah? Yes. There are some shallow water ports, like Joppa, but there are not any natural deep water ports. And that is why King Herod the Great got incredibly rich. Mentally unstable, but one of the best builders of all time, Herod the Great built the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, a palace of Masada, moved a mountain, built a palace on it in Herodium, and had many other major building projects. I believe his greatest project was Caesarea, sometimes known as Caesarea Maritima, Caesarea by the sea. Herod and his engineers invented a type of cement that would set underwater. Then they constructed some huge seawalls and created the deep water port of Caesarea. For the first time, large ships could dock in Israel. In fact, the harbor was so large that 100 ships could dock there at a time. Since Herod now controlled the Via Maris trade route, he made a fortune. Virtually all ship travel and shipping commerce moving through Israel had to come through Caesarea. Caesarea was built about 20 years before the birth of Jesus. Herod built a beautiful palace, and a huge marble-clad city arose where nothing had been before. He built a magnificent aqueduct all the way from Mount Carmel to service the city. The remnants of that aqueduct and city will still be seen 2,000 years later. Visitors to the site of Caesarea today are awed by the huge semicircular theater. Originally, it was marble-clad and was quite a wonder. Ironically, one of Herod's arrogant grandsons died in Caesarea, possibly in this marble theater, when God struck him with worms. The Romans highly preferred living in Caesarea over anywhere else in Israel, especially Jerusalem. They hated the 70-mile walk uphill to Jerusalem, where the Jews were hateful and rebellious. It was much more pleasant to live by the beautiful sea, with the added benefit of being able to get to Rome much quicker. Very few people could swim in those days, but they still loved the stunning nearby beach. Traveling on the sea in my time was much different than taking a cruise in modern times. Our ships were primarily used to transport goods, not people. If you wanted to take a voyage, you were probably going to travel on a merchant ship or a cargo ship. The bigger the ship, the safer you would be. You paid the captain whatever he asked, and that entitled you to find a place to lie on the deck. The more travelers, the less space you had. If a diplomat or soldier needed to get somewhere, you might even lose your place entirely. You were required to bring your own food and water. You probably brought some rope, too. That way, if a storm came up, you might be able to find a way to tie yourself down instead of being washed overboard to a sure death. Ships of that time went at the mercy of winds and currents. Sailing during the winter was nearly suicidal, and sailing near the winter season was dangerous. One part of the year, the prevailing wind would blow you one way, and another part of the year would blow you another way. The pagans believed the winds were predictable until their gods changed their minds, in which case they went whichever way the gods wanted them to go. That's one reason why all sailors and travelers were superstitious, and a reason why there are now hundreds of thousands of shipwrecks at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. At its largest, Caesarea had a population of 125,000, but it had a relatively small amount of Jews and Christians. Because we lived in Caesarea, we were able to give travelers the very best tips, some food and water, and a place to rest. We were also able to make friends with some of the important people of the town and evangelize them whenever possible. Remember the story of Cornelius the centurion that Peter told? Cornelius was from Caesarea, probably a God-fearer, so you might guess that he could have been a good friend of mine. Sailors were extraordinarily superstitious, never starting a trip unless the weather was good, omens in their favor, the day's date was favorable, and the captain or owner of the ship felt lucky. The departures were sometimes delayed for days while waiting for all these things to align. When men are fearful for their lives, they often take refuge in learning more about the gods or God. Sharing the gospel with a huge number of sailors, travelers, and soldiers was simple for me. Rather than have me travel to meet new people, God made the new people travel to meet me. A good gig for an evangelist, huh? And my girls had a beach nearby. Paul, you know, he came through Caesarea soon after he became a Christian. It was a critical city for Paul and other early missionaries as time went by. Caesarea was the place where Paul was imprisoned for 2 years before he went to Rome. During those 2 years, I loved to visit Paul in prison and help him write letters to people and churches he loved so much. If you could have seen the political games that we played while Paul was in prison, through our many relationships with common staff people and servants, my girls and I knew every detail of what was going on with Felix, Festus, and Herod Agrippa. We knew every question that was going to be asked before it was asked. We even influenced some of their thought processes by influencing their advisors. One of the nice things about Caesarea was that its jail cell did not have a cellar. Now, I'm not telling you that being in jail was a vacation, but Paul could enjoy the sea breeze while watching the ships come and go in the harbor. I've often thought that his metaphors about spiritual warfare were derived from watching the soldiers drill in formation outside his cell in Caesarea. He could see they always drilled in groups, demonstrating that spiritual warfare was to be fought as a church body. After the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, Caesarea became the provincial capital of the Judea province and one of the colonies for Roman military veterans. It remained an important center for Christianity long after my life. The famous Christian author Origen lived there and wrote some of his most important works. Some suspect the Nicene Creed originated in Caesarea. Eusebius, the brilliant church historian, was bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. The harbor was used for hundreds of years, but earthquakes, tsunamis, and sand drifts slowly destroyed its use. The city was critical in the Crusades, but other ports increasingly became more important. By 1265 AD, the city was abandoned. By the way, my Caesarea is not the same as Caesarea Philippi, which is near Mount Hermon on the far north edge of Israel. Caesarea Philippi was visited by Jesus and is the place where Peter first confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, and where Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. Also where Jesus changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter. Caesarea Philippi is a beautiful place, but not nearly as beautiful as my Caesarea Maritima. When you were a child, you learned to detest the evil King Herod. He deceived the wise men who were trying to find the baby Jesus. When God led the wise men to go home a different way, Herod became so enraged that he killed all of the baby boys in Bethlehem who were younger than 2 years of age. That horrific scene has been depicted in songs, art, and used as proof of the validity of prophetical scripture. Herod's irrational actions were clearly the sign of a deranged mind, which would prove to become even more deranged. Here is the irony. Only a few years before the birth of Jesus, Herod finished building the deep water port of Caesarea. It is through that port the gospel about Jesus would be so effectively spread to the rest of the world. It is at that port where I would be able to evangelize so effectively. It was at that port where Paul influenced so many people, wrote some of his most important letters, and was enabled to go to Rome in a capacity where he could influence people in very important positions. Not only that, but when Herod built the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, he added the Antonia Fortress to it so the Romans could keep peace in the city, live a secluded life that didn't arouse the resentment of the Jews. When Paul came to the temple after his third missionary journey, he was arrested on vague charges. However, Paul, the man who wrote much of the New Testament, surely would have died at the temple that day if the soldiers hadn't rushed from the Antonia Fortress to rescue him and bring him to Caesarea a short while later. Without his knowledge, King Herod helped ensure the word of God spread throughout the world and throughout the ages. So, wasn't he one of the most effective evangelists in the history of Christianity? And maybe why God chose for me to live here, to see it all, along with my four daughters, my four lovely daughters, may they find husbands and have grandbabies.